Chloe?
Have you seen Lost? We have some lines dropping out. Don't worry, go ahead.
I really want to make 2 points here. And I think that I want Barbadians particularly to wake up and understand the seriousness of disability. They're hearing me, they're hearing Carrie Ann, they're hearing Mr. Johnson here talking about, you know, his role as a father of an autistic young adult. Carrie and I speak from our personal perspectives as blind and visually impaired and share other stories of other people with disabilities. But oftentimes, even we within the disabled community sometimes are guilty of it. Mm-hmm. We do not remember or do not put on the front burner those individuals with severe disabilities that are unable to come out of their houses unless they have the appropriate vehicle. Mm-hmm. There are some individuals who will not have the intellectual capacity to decipher right from wrong or good from bad. And therefore, they are dependent on a parent or a caregiver. Mm-hmm. They're dependent on a relative or a good friend or neighbor. And we have to remember these individuals because they're seeing us moving around and getting involved and advocating and lobbying and so on. Sometimes they don't remember the other category mm-hmm. of disability. Mm-hmm. The other group in persons with mental health challenges.
Yes, I was about to say that.
We seek to embrace them, but sometimes they back away. But we need to also remember a nervous breakdown, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever the mental health challenge is, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, again, another human being. Mm-hmm. And we need to treat people like human beings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, therefore, mm-hmm. the appropriate medication, the appropriate counseling services, the appropriate tools that are needed to help every individual with a disability to be on track. Mm-hmm. We don't think of the individuals who were involved in vehicular accidents. We hear they're in the hospital. But then after that, what? Do you know how many of them have become disabled as a result of those accidents? Mm-hmm. The type of medication and care that are required? Mm-hmm. You know, so these are some of the realities that we need to think very seriously about. And as decision makers, as policy makers, as planners, as family members, as co-workers, how can we give support the individuals with disabilities, particularly those who have acquired disabilities and now have to do maybe a 360-degree turn in how to adjust to living with a disability and not feeling ashamed and embarrassed about it.
Exactly.
And feel that they can go back into society and be greeted, hi, Chloe, good to see you, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just carry on. But we are taking a, oh, dear. Corey, don't move. Let me get your cup of tea for you.
Mm. Or worse yet,
you can do things yourself.
There's lots of other ways to look at this as mm-hmm. well, because I can relate to this from my point of view as a what they call a neurotypical person, if there's such a thing. I, as a parent, run two lives. I run my own, and I run my son's. And the amount of pressure it puts you under
is tremendous.
Of double thinking mm-hmm. every decision that you make, what to do, where to go, how to go, what time to go, and all the rest of it, puts you under great distraction, great pressure, great stress, which are all invisible to the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. But in fact, you yourself are feeling this all the time, and it is almost as though there are two disabled persons in the household. Mm-hmm. There's your son, who you can see, who has problems. But there's also yourself as well. And it affects your own social life. It affects your professional life. As Kerry said before, Eudine said before, it also affects your income as well, because your income is now stretched to support two people. Mm-hmm. The second person is not earning. And for their future as well, you have to think of how they will look after themselves in future from the money point of view.
Lots of issues. Ooh, back to the telephone lines. We say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you doing? And good afternoon to our guest there, right?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A blogger made a statement that you all are what? Doing something, complaining, right? And, you know, it worries me that people could really think about this. I think this is a very educational program, and a lot of people want questions that need to be questions answered. And some of the best ways in doing it is being able to listen to what your people have to say, because we never know when a member of our family is incapacitated in some form, and it helps us to understand them and be able to do and give them the best help that we can give them. Mm-hmm. So to that blogger, I'm saying what you did not say is sung better. Now to my question to the panel, to the gentleman there, I don't remember his name, with the
Frederick Johnson.
Frederick Johnson. Sir, I would like you really to explain what is autism, and what are the signs, what to look for in an autistic child. I would put down a listen.
Okay, thank you, okay. Sir. It's almost invisible. If you were to meet an autistic person in the street or in the schoolyard, you would think, what's wrong with them? It's an intellectual disability. And it's also what they call a spectrum disability, in that there are some people who are more affected than others. Some are mildly affected, some severely affected. No two children on the spectrum are the same. They both exhibit different profiles of the disability. Broadly, as the child is growing up, or as it's in its first year of infancy, you will notice delayed development in meeting what they call the classic milestones of childhood development. You may notice that speech is delayed significantly. They may not be saying the dada or the mama at the end of the first year. My son didn't speak until he was 3. Eye contact, and this extends throughout their life as well. They don't hold your eyes and watch you as they converse with you. They seem to be in the world of their own. They don't show that response of eyes and head turning when you talk to them, which is very puzzling in case they come up against the law, a policeman in the street. And the policeman may take that as a significant sign of
guilt,
of disobeying what their instructions may be.
Mm-hmm.
As well as being unable to hold what we call normal conversations, they tend to speak their sentences in short and use very few words. Their sentence structures are limited, and their use of different words is also very limited. As they grow older, they have difficulty in relating to other people. They ignore social cues in common interactions between persons, or between their parents and themselves, or with other children. They give up easily in trying to talk, and if they can't speak, they will grab your hand for attention, and that's very true of the child as it's growing up. It's a strange disability. It has intellectual incapacity at one end. It has what most people would call years ago as being akin to what we used to call the village idiot, which is quite insulting when it comes down to it. Most autistic people have the same emotions and the same drives as we do, as regular people. And to that extent, it's also very difficult for a person to, for a parent to deal with and to react to every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that gives you some kind of profile of what it's like. I'm not an expert. I'm not a medically qualified expert in autism, but my qualification comes as a parent of 31 and a half years,
which is experience, I can tell you. There's even an extreme, as one of the persons here said, you know, it's a behavior. My neighbor has a child that's very autistic, and he's not a very high functioning little boy. He is sometimes out of control and is very strong physically. He is extreme. When he gets upset, he breaks things, attacks, screams as if he's being murdered. It's really hard on the mother and the father. And he does have to go to care during the week, but sometimes he is so out of control that he can't even go. That is how extreme it can get, because you talked about a spectrum, and I guess that that's the other end, that's the really right extreme end.
That's the extreme end, yes.
Of the spectrum. We head towards 12:30, where we take the latest, but in the meantime, and in between time, we take another call. Good afternoon, and welcome, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, are you hearing me well? I got some lawnmower noise on the outside.
No, we're hearing you loud and clear, go ahead.
Yeah, permit me to say a few words to the program. I've been listening to it for a while. I have my two eyes and I can see well. And when I'm driving the road, I have massive respect for those people who I see may have a white cane. I'm always willing, even if I have to stop my car and approach them and allow them to cross the street from time to time. I know they can't hear, so they have to make them aware that I'm there to allow them to cross the street. I would even go as far as giving them a ride to wherever the destination. But I know that is far out of place because of certain conditions that could eventually happen. I would want the panel, the guests there, to be not very harsh on the people who would may want to assist them, and not to deter people from having to come and give them a helping hand or give them a ride or whatever. I think if they are too harsh, it can go to the other extreme where no one is willing to give them a hand, and at times it can get worse. Giving someone a ride, if it has been possible, would be, especially someone that is blind, would be actually saving a life, because there someone crossing the street and not noticing that something is moving may end up in the path of the vehicle. It is very costly for those sort of people to be transported to and fro, which I believe is any sort of help that they can possibly get would be a great benefit to them. But I wouldn't want them to mash on the corners of people who may be willing to help, and seeing people would tend to think, well, she's not that kind, so don't pay her or him any attention, and then they are left there to struggle, especially those that are blind.
All right, caller, give me a minute. I want to get, Dennis really wants to respond to you. Dennis, what's on your mind?
Go on.
I'll tell you what's on my mind, sir. I want you to understand that even people who do not have a disability mistrust people. There are gender issues involved. There are various other issues involved. Yeah. I have a particular weakness for females I see with children. And I've offered one a ride, and they've opened every compartment in my car looking for cash because they were using the child as a sort of shield to get into your car. When you use terms like people like that and offering them a ride and mashing on their corns, you are putting a shield up that you yourself don't realize. You are being sometimes what would appear to be condescending and saying, look, I offer you a ride because I pity
you.
No,
I wouldn't do that.
No, but hold on, sir. I'm not saying you're doing it. Oh. I'm saying unconsciously that may be the quote-unquote vibe you're giving. Let me say to you, people with disabilities are taken advantage of, and therefore the mistrust that we have for each other's individuals may seem to be amplified, even though your intentions are honorable. So all I'm asking you to do is to not see it as them putting up any additional shield. It is simply a matter of, let's call it, the screening process that may take a while longer, because sometimes we look at people and we jump to conclusions. A Rastafarian standing in a corner, in a dark corner, is up to no good. You know, some fellow with the pants falling off the bottom is a vagabond. And an old lady or a lady with a child is helpless. Those are natural human reactions that we see. Now close the eyes for a minute and try to visualize the voice talking to you. What do I look like? What do I sound like? People tell me when they see me, they thought I was big, black, and ugly. Well, they got 2 out of 3. You know, so I'm just saying to you, they are simply screening your offer while they're making up their mind whether to accept your generosity or not. We have to go to the lunchtime edition of The Latest, and I thought I'd bridge Corey as I take control from the top. I've really been sitting on the edge of my seat here for the entire program. I want to thank you very much. I promise you, this will be my only intrusion. Brass Dax comes to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material. For building supplies, big or small, at Brilliant
Metals we have it all. At Brilliant Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.be.
We are back here on Brass Tax Sunday. We are exploring the issues of the disabled, how sensitive we are, and what are some of the policy changes that may be needed. We're here with Vice President of BARNOG, the National Organization of the Disabled, Udalene Wickham-Ashby. We're here with the President of the Autism Organization of Barbados, Frederick Johnson, and the President of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, Carrie-Anne Eiffel. We've had a very productive discussion thus far. We continue into the afternoon, the quarter after one, we are going to start with some WhatsApps, actually. I didn't get to read many of those. And then we go back to the line and we hear from you, the panel. There's lots going on. I want to get some feedback from you along the way. But before we get to that, I must tell you, I found some information here online and let you know that the Starcom Network Nation Public Exchange Conquering Lions downed the Legal Eagles in the celebrity T20. I want to call it a T15 because the weather actually dampened the day and we were reduced to 15 overs per side. So the Lions powered to 149.45, but the Eagles were restricted to 75-4. So I guess the Conquering Lions won that case and were found innocent. That they are indeed the Conquering Lions and the best celebrity team across the length and breadth of this country called Barbados. Congratulations to the Lions as they continue to roar and start victorious across the cricket jungle of Barbados. Now, back to the WhatsApp. Someone says, hi here. I have some physical challenges resulting from 2 falls over the last few years. Looking at my face, no one can tell I have a challenge until they observe me struggling to sit, stand or walk for long periods. I have encountered bank tellers and other service providers who frowned and react negatively when I ask for help. They just assume because of my face, it looks bright, that I am okay. This next one says, Mr. Lane, very good topic, but Bajans will never accept the disabled. I brought my son to Barbados when he was younger, but I will not do it anymore. He is one of my main reasons I have not returned home for over 50 years. Here I am in the U.S. Transport, medical, education, the ability to shop the streets, not wheelchair accessible, restaurants, and including people looking at you like if you're from Mars. My workplace is one of the culprits. I can go on and on. But every time I think about this subject as far as Barbados goes in 2019, it gets an F or a zero. Hi, Corey. A changing attitude is key. That will open the locks to change. Please consider that John Abel public needs to put their ego aside and empower and respect themselves as opposed to enjoying helping, quote unquote. I appreciate the infomercial which educate John Abel public about the needs of those with disabilities. Please consider infomercials which take John Abel public into the working and social lives of people living with disabilities in America and Europe. Barbados can immediately put some of these systems in place. Well off air, actually, Frederick actually showed me something called a passport. It is an autism passport which lays out some of the information. It has the demographics, it has who you can contact, and some general information so that if an autistic person is approached by the police, and I believe this is coming out of London, and it's actually a very good, for me, system that we can actually copy and use here, almost like a best practice across the spectrum of disability in Barbados. So there are some good systems that we, and it's pretty inexpensive. So there are some pretty good systems that we can implement. I'll take one more and I'll get some reaction from the panel and head back over to the telephone line. So keep close to your lines. Hey, Corey, let's get some timelines and get some of these issues for the disabilities resolved. Let's list the issues. See what are the quick wins, the short-term and long-term issues to resolve. From a financial perspective, maybe each employee can contribute $10 per month from their salary. I believe it will go a long way in assisting them. But education is key. I think that's a brilliant WhatsApp right there. So back over to you, the panel. Anything you want to share before we go back over to the telephone lines?
Well, definitely, Corey, when we think of what your last WhatsApp person said, that is crucial to the survival and the functioning of people with disabilities on the island. So not only the private sector, government, the NGOs themselves need to really set some serious guidelines, timelines, mm-hmm. and programs and services using best practices. Mm-hmm. I often check Australia. Australia has some excellent programs for people with disabilities, and Canada as well. So for me, one of the big things is having that attendant care / caregiver support. Mm-hmm. So Australia, England as well, the UK, Canada, they have monies allocated in all the budgets, government budgets, to support the attendant. Canada calls them attendant. Australia calls them caregivers. We in Barbados tend to use the word caregiver. That can utilize those funds to finance and support the caregiver who is at home with that individual with disabilities. And it also has a measure for the individual, the adult with a disability, to be the one to hire the caregiver that they want. They access that funding and they're able to pay the caregiver or caregivers for the services they require so that they're able to function at home. They're able to go out to work, go out to school and educate themselves, as well as to just go out socially. Mm-hmm. And that's one big area that I think we need to seriously address. The other key area for me, employment and education and employment go hand in hand. And whether it's an academic education or a vocational training, we need to again put measures in place, clear policies, again, finances, to help support the individual with disability to gain a sound education. Mm-hmm. And for many of us, we need technology, we need transport, and we're unable to sustain the transport costs. Because if you're moving from St. Lucie to Bridgetown, or even Spikestown or Whole Town to do classes, it's a huge cost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're moving from St. Philip, St. Joseph, it's a huge cost. And if you're doing that twice a week for 1 year, that's a lot of money,
yes.
Mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And just where technology is concerned, and I'm just going to speak to the blind because this is my reality. A reading machine, which is a machine, a device that operates like a scanner. So I put my printed material on it, scans it, and it reads it back to me. That's $2,500 Barbados.
The cheap one.
The high end is a lot more. And, you know, a cell phone, again, costly. Software to put onto your laptop or your desktop. So the cost of supporting yourself with the necessary aids and accommodation is costly. Mm-hmm. And there is no national fund that the person with disability can access to say, I can purchase a piece of equipment to support my gaining an education, mm-hmm. or my going into the workplace and be comfortable.
Right.
So these are some of the areas that we need to seriously address at a policy level. Mm-hmm. How will me as an employer facilitate a blind person, a deaf person, a wheelchair user, a person with an intellectual challenge? How do we facilitate those individuals? Mm. What aids and accommodation, reasonable accommodation, do we need to put in place? And these are things that can be discussed by the HR practitioner, the manager of the businesses, as well as the individuals with disabilities, so that we can have genuine discussion.
What I would like to add with what Yudeli is saying, a large component of that has to be training as well. We need to provide opportunities for training, not just for persons with disabilities, but for the employers, the educators, the persons that offer services on when they interact, when they encounter, or in the event of encountering or working with persons with disabilities, how are the ways in which they can assist? How are some of the measures, what are some of the measures they need to put into place to assist persons? Now, the Barbados Council for the Disabled runs a disability sensitivity training program, and I would encourage all agencies to get in touch with the Council for the Disabled and seek some of that training. But it goes beyond that. It goes into, we were having a discussion off air about training our police, having training part of their training programs speak to how to interact with persons with disabilities. We're a big tourism market. Barbados has a really good tourism product. But we also need to incorporate at the training level, training the students coming out of the hospitality institutes, coming out of all of the other programs, how when they encounter persons with disabilities, what it means, how to provide access tourism when you go into the hotel management training and stuff like that. What do you need to look for when you're running your restaurants and your hotels and what's not to cater to your guests with disabilities? And I'm not talking about guests as in visitors from outside of Barbados, but when persons with disabilities from Barbados go out and encounter these things, what are some of the things you need to put in place? So training is a large part of what you need to look at. And also, when you have business places that are embracing change, for example, the banks, a lot of banks are moving towards smart ATM machines. Fantastic. It was phenomenal the other day to go to the bank and try to deposit a check in the bank. The ATM read the check and calculated the funds. Great. What would have been more wonderful, though, is if that ATM machine was accessible to me so I can independently and privately carry out my business, so that I can plug in my headphones and listen to what I need to do. Those are some of the steps. Some of the banks have taken steps to have bank ambassadors. Some have lowered counters. But there's a lot more that can be adopted to include persons with disabilities. Because Barbados also has another thing we need to take into consideration. Barbados has an aging population. And a lot of us, as we age, we develop, you know, we hear the knees cracking and stuff. That's just the beginning of some other challenges that are going to come along. So we need to put things in place that when those people get older, that they don't have to give up their independence and their right to do their own business. We have the right to access ATMs. We have the right to go into business houses and carry out our own business. The point of sales machines in a lot of places are inaccessible. But you know what? In the UK and Canada, they provide templates that you can put over the touch screen and know where to touch in order to take your business forward on your own. So those are some of the things that we can incorporate.
Excellent. Absolutely. It just to pick up one particular issue, if you go to the supermarket these days, how do you check out at the checkout counter if you are in a wheelchair? And why shouldn't you check out at the counter if you are in a wheelchair? Mm-hmm. Why should you feel unaccommodated, frustrated that you cannot maneuver your wheelchair through the very narrow opening, which is common to most planning of supermarket checkout areas? Just to go back to something a couple of seconds ago, I'm sure there's a reaction out there today that all we are doing is saying, give us money, give us this, give us that, give these things to the disabled persons. And it doesn't have to be seen as a give, a one-way street. For example, caregivers can be a profession in itself. Mm-hmm. You can get training as a caregiver across all sorts of disabilities. There isn't one caregiver that fits all situations. If you were to train people as caregivers, straight away, there is a profession for people out there to follow they will in turn pay taxes, they will in turn pay national insurance, and straight away you have them contributing back to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be a cost. It could be part of the general budget and running of the finances of this island.
And that's a point that we, as people with disabilities, often make. We want to be employed because we want to contribute to our own development within this island. And that will reduce the millions that are paid out in disability benefits, mm-hmm. invalidity benefits, mm-hmm. non-contributory old age pension, and welfare grants.
And that would also mean that then you can increase the allowances to those persons, like you Udalee cited, that are severely disabled and will need the ongoing support because others are able to contribute back and increase and improve the pool. So it's a win-win. We're not just saying give, give, give. We're saying provide the opportunity so we can give as well.
Because we want to give.
Of course.
Y'all definitely on point. Someone just sent in a message, but y'all answer it before the message even dried on the screen. We take a call. 9 minutes to 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. You're on the air.